This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Major League Soccer on the BetRivers Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome on into the MLS Betting Weekly podcast brought to you by BetRivers Sportsbook and Casino. Head on over to BetRivers.com today. Sign up and get in on the action with us. I'm Thomas Viola, and joining me as always, normally, the man in Bogota, the Pablo Escobar of parlays, Taylor Wilson, coming at us from an undisclosed location today. Taylor, you look like you have been on the run from the authorities for a while right now.
Look, the location remains hidden. The podcast don't stop, and that's really all that matters. Where in the world is Taylor San Diego, Tom? But happy to be back. You've been rolling. You did a solo midweek pod here in the midst of the summer. That was plus for you, and you're kind of the man who's never in the red at this point. So congrats on another big week.
This week, I am absolutely going 0-9. Pride cometh before the fall, and the pride is way too high right now. Three straight positive weeks. Last week, probably my biggest of the year. 6.1 units up, 7-5 when all told. Shout out to Austin, man.
Yep.
Shout out to Austin. They keep on cashing these monster tickets for us. A plus 380 price helped keep us in the black. I'm 58-65 overall now, 8.91 units up since we've started doing this show for the season, Taylor. We're feeling good, but you know, it's all about next week. We got to keep going. We got to keep moving on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm minus 3.4 units last week, coming off of a plus 9 and change units week the week before. So I'll take plus 6 and change over the last couple of weeks. Hopefully I can get it a little bit more stable. I don't know about these, you know, occasionally a plus 9, a plus 8 unit week. I'm feeling like I'm on top of the world and then I'm back in the red. I got to try to hit a little bit more consistency. Hopefully that comes this week. But interesting slate, some really hype, you know, rivalry games, some derby days, all kinds of stuff, Tom.
It's like a half rivalry week, but the thing that surprised me most about this slate, just one game features a road team of less than plus 190. So if we can figure out who the road teams are that are going to be taking home some wins this weekend, we are going to be making a nice chunk of change here, because you know it's going to be at least a couple of these teams cashing. We just have to find out who it is, and let's get that started off here. First game up on the slate, we've got the Philadelphia Union versus DC United. Maybe this isn't the spot that I quite want to start on, because Philly is frustrating me so much. On the one hand, you beat NYCFC 2 weeks ago. Then you follow that up with a loss to Chicago. They've drawn an absurd 9 games, Taylor.
Yep.
This team should win this game, but I'm not laying minus 140 with Philly until they show me something. And in this one, they're minus 143. DC's plus 360 in the draw, plus 285. DC, they put up a 5 spot on Orlando in a 5-3 victory. They won't do that again here. And what the stats are pointing me to, honestly, you look at the last several games for these teams, this is going under, I think. I'm going under 2.5 at minus 112 here.
I don't mind an underplay at all. I look at this point, Philadelphia, and I know you don't like the draw plays, Tom, but at this point, the trend data is getting bigger and bigger. It's 9-18. Okay. So for our math wizards following along at home, that's 1-2. That's enough for me to keep trying these draws when the price is so inflated. I hit them on a draw at 2-1 last week and the 0-0 with Columbus Crew. You can get it at plus 290 this time around. You know, you would need something from DC here, which I can understand some concern, but we saw them. Look, Nation's Capital showing up on the 4th in a 5-3 banger against Orlando. You know, warm up the taxi Arches Funtas, one of the most underrated players in the league. Beyond that, I still think DC has a lot of problems. And in fact, this has not been a reliable draw team at all from a DC perspective. But you look at Philadelphia, it's a set identity. We know what they do. Both of these teams are high kind of on the pressure, top three in all of the pressure stats when you look at really how Philadelphia Union is doing it. And they're very anti-MLS, Tom, in the sense that, you know, they remind me of like a second or third division English team where you can sometimes find pretty reliable draw trend data. And right now, like, this isn't 2 draws in 4 games where it's like, all right, maybe that's fluky. This is getting to a point where we know what Philly is, especially when they're at home. They can impose their identity, which is press the heck out of the other team and not create enough chances with those pressing numbers. And a lot of the time, you know, draws seem random with them. There's enough there for me on a plus 290, Tom, to try it. If we're going to be trying some of these big road dogs, I got to keep hitting some of these draws. I've already hit a couple of them with Philly this year. I'm going to do it again. I don't love the DC side of things. I could absolutely see DC laying an egg and screwing me out of this one, but I really like the price here at plus 290. A reminder, draws do not get bet very often by the public. So you're getting a really good number, especially for a team like Philly that, look, if you've been betting them on the draw in all of those 18 games, you are very much in the green in that sense. So I'm going to keep going with them. Plus 290. Let's try it. DC, don't hurt me here.
I mean, they've played 18 matches. They've drawn 9 of them. You're literally at 50% to the draw here with this team. It's been absurd. You always have a good shot with it. I'm sticking with the under, though, because here's the thing. I went back to look at their past 5 matches and go, how many have gone under? And I go, okay, 4 out of 5 of their last 5 have gone under. Then I start expanding it out a little bit because I'm like, okay, well, hang on a second, because then you pull it out even further to 8 of their last 10 have gone under. And at that point, I'm just looking down the slate at the entire 18. They've only had 5 matches go over 2.5 goals this season. This is absurd for this team. They're not scoring a lot, but they're not giving up a lot of goals either. In fact, most of the time, they're just giving up exactly what they score. And that's simply what the case is here for this team. So that's why I'm sticking with the under, because maybe in this spot, yeah, this should be probably a 1-0 victory for them.
Yeah.
But again, they can't seem to win games. So I'm kind of with you on that draw, but I'm going to stick with my under 2.5 here at minus 112. It's a little bit of a conservative week for me. I'm having trouble reading through the tea leaves here with these games, but there's still some good numbers on the slate. And let's head to what will be hopefully the most exciting game of the weekend, because every single one of these has been a fantastic matchup. It's time for El Tráfico, my friend. LA Galaxy versus LAFC in the best rivalry in MLS right now. LAFC minus 130, plus 295 of the Galaxy away from home, really. Well, let's face it, it's LA, so that's a 2-hour drive right there from from PayPal Park, from Petco to Bank of California. Plus 310 on the draw. I'm sorry, Dignity Health Sports Park. What am I thinking? But the draw plus 310 here. The over, the total in this game, Taylor, is 3.5 goals.
We love it.
Absurd number here, plus 128. But the problem is you can't really take that kind of a price. I don't want to take 3.5 here. These games do love to be high scoring, but that's an insane, insane total. Here's some insane stats for you. 15 games, there have been at least 2 goals in every single one of them that these two teams have played. 11 of 15 have gone over 2.5, and 8 of 15 have gone over the 3.5. The under is just too heavily juiced, because when you do that math to about half the time, you should be able to take the under here. But, well, then again, you're getting plus 128 on the over. Here's where I'm going, though. Gareth Bale most likely not going to play yet. It's looking like what I'm seeing from the news reports, we don't actually see the Bale unveiling here. So I'm going to say he doesn't play, but I'm still going to say the Galaxy take the upset. They're 7-5-3 all time in this spot, 7 wins, 5 draws, 3 losses. And in a game where you throw out the records, they've managed to spoil the party against LAFC so many times. I'm going to take them on the 3-1 price here.
I honestly thought about a similar move, Tom, especially, I mean, LAFC is going through some injuries. By the way, we mentioned that Vancouver game, potential trap game. They then end up rotating about half the squad looking ahead to this and a couple of injuries, and they fall to the Whitecaps. So that's just a reminder, folks, you know, this league, especially in this juncture of the season with a lot of games, there's more rotation and more injuries than sometimes we're putting out there here on the show. So that was what happened in the Whitecaps game. I think both of us took LA on a plus 100 even.
You did call that trap game, though.
And yeah, I gave myself the caveat without making money off of it. So just putting that out there really quick, really excited for this game. I think you're right about the Bale part of things. Brian Rodriguez has been injured as well. The first thing I was looking at is, hey, let's just ignore the sides and look at an over. You broke down the over market. 3.5 is tough. One of my least favorite plays in soccer, honestly, is an over or under 3 flat. I usually, if I'm going to do that, I'm thinking more in the quarter ball zone, where I give myself more flexibility on, let's say, an over 2.75 play in this spot, where half of my unit is on an over 2.5. As you mentioned, 11 of 15 there on these head-to-heads. That's pretty reliable. you're not getting great value. So I am going to go against my, you know, if you're going to bet, don't bet for push protection kind of rule and just take a three here. Very conservative play, over three, minus 124. I feel pretty confident you're getting to that number. I think you get a kind of push minimum situation here. You don't have to worry about the sides and you probably get to four plus, but at least you're safe if something goes wrong, which in MLS it often can. So this is just a push protection kind of play for me, Tom. I hate to be boring in one of the most exciting fixtures of our MLS calendar, but especially with, you know, maybe some of the attacking flair guys not in for LAFC, I still think it's going to be an open game. I'm not necessarily as confident on them taking this one. So I can understand you looking at it from a Galaxy perspective, a Galaxy team that's had real kind of mixed bag of results here over the past month, some disappointments, some successes as well. I think they obviously step up for this game, as do LAFC. But usually the big clashes in this game, this league, go over. And so I'm going over three minus 124 here, Tom.
There we have it. I think I'm with you. I like that. I like the over three. Three and a half seems a little too rich for my blood here, but three goals, you get your money back if it finishes on a 2-1 spot. I like that a lot. This next game here, we are going to go to New York City versus the New England Revolution, an old-time colonial battle, my friend. New York City minus 159, the Revs 4-1, and the draw at 3-1 in this game. Over 2.5, heavily juiced at minus 175. Here's the thing. I don't think that the Revs should be 4-1 dogs in this spot.
I knew this was coming from you.
They have not earned it. New York City is the second best home team in the league. I know that. But they've only got one win in their last five games. Three draws, and that loss to Philly. New York can't win games right now, and the Revs, I didn't even realize this until I was looking back at it. When's the last time New England Revolution has lost a game of soccer? Off the top of your head, it just
I had the phone next to me, but I did not cheat because it was NYCFC. It's been a few draws, right?
April 23rd.
Jesus.
Yep. They haven't been getting a ton of the wins.
Yep.
But they've been getting the draws here. A 3-1 draw should be in play in this game, but I'm gonna take New England plus the half goal at plus 132. Still getting a good price on them because this number is so far off. 4-1 is ridiculous in this spot. I'll take some protection on a New England win because, again, I don't want to play just the draw, but New York City's spark is fading. I might even throw a little on that 4-1 Revolution win just to have something if this happens, because that would be a really fun ticket to be able to call. But I'm going to take the New England with the draw on my side because I think this game is ending dead even.
So I was leaning my only no touch of the week here. It's just a tough situation in terms of you're still kind of getting that NYCFC early season price when we were, you know, thinking about this as the defending champions and still a good team and all this. I don't think they're a bad team. I mean, the Revs, I will say, like, they don't have any necessarily big marquee wins on the year, at least in the last couple of months. Like you say, a lot of those draws, and they've beaten some bad teams as well. I'm still not a huge Revs believer. But I do think the numbers are completely wrong here. NYCFC, they haven't beaten a team by two goals or more since mid-May. That's coming up on, you know, almost 2 months at this point. That was a team that at one point you and I were thinking about as maybe occasionally it makes sense as a minus one play, maybe even a -1.5 in some spots. That's not who they are anymore. You know, a pretty, I would say, bad Atlanta United team getting something done against them this past week was their latest worrying sign. But it's not just that. It's been going on for weeks and weeks now. You know, the Tati thing hanging over the team, the manager shift, whatever it is. And I think beyond anything, this is just a really hard league to be a defending champion in as well. And you're seeing all of that kind of catch up to NYCFC right now. So I am going to stick with no play. I was wondering if you could maybe talk me into anything. It's just, I'm not a Revs guy necessarily at the end of the day. They're getting it done against, you know, some of these draws have been impressive. I think most of their wins, you could maybe trace back to a good win over Dallas very early in the season. But beyond that, I haven't been that impressed by their wins. Yeah. But you don't need that in your play. So I can understand what you're looking at here. I do think they probably find a way to keep it close, as everyone against NYCFC has now for about 10 games on the trot. I just don't really like any of the spots, any of the numbers. Throw my hands up, no touch here.
All right, there you go. I just hope that I can call this one as a great upset, because I really do think that this is one of those spots where New York is still being overvalued and the Revs are being significantly undervalued right now. The resume isn't that great, but they are getting the draws, and I think they get another one here. The next game up, though, we're going to head to Cascadia, because it is the Seattle Sounders versus the Portland Timbers. The Sounders at minus 115, the Timbers at plus 290, and the draw at plus 270 here, Taylor. You know, Seattle bounced back with a good win over Toronto last week. They're still cruising along in 5-4. But the Timbers are starting to finally turn that corner. We've been waiting for it all season. We kind of wrote them off and said it's not happening this year. But two wins and two draws in their last four now. There's a lot of value plays here on the dogs this week. Both of these offenses are really playing well right now, though. I don't necessarily know who's going to win this. Could end in a draw. I don't think it ends in a scoreless draw. I'm going to just take a simple both teams to score at minus 162. Maybe we try and find something on the parlay slate to put in with it, get yourself a nice little extra price. But this is what I'm taking in this spot. I don't have any notes on a parlay. I'll have to think about that during the rest of the show.
So, I mean, Sounders kind of got in the injury bug here recently, obviously dating back to May or whenever Joao Paulo went out for the year. But Rui Diaz's hamstring has been a real problem for them, missing Will Bruin, Obed Vargas. And I've had some slips here over the past few weeks. When you look at, you mentioned Portland's recent form, it's not like they're playing complete scrubs in that stretch either. They've played Nashville and the Galaxy, and they've had solid results with four in a row unbeaten. And you look at the head-to-head stuff, Tom. You looked at this with El Tráfico. I'm going to look at it here on another regional derby, Cascadia Cup. The home team has only won one of the last 10 in all competitions in this derby.
Wow.
It really is one of these where the books seem to be kind of still backing the home versus away form, but that's not really what this series is. It almost ends up feeling like it's on a neutral pitch. Of course, the atmosphere is going to be fantastic for Sounders in Seattle, fantastic for Timbers in Portland, but big away days for both teams. And it is just one of these things where, like, it almost feels like a trophy. It's that big of a rivalry to where, and the data backs this up, you kind of throw home and away out a little bit. Portland, four wins and a draw in their last five away at Seattle, counting a U.S. Open Cup game in that stretch as well. I've really faded Portland a lot this year. They are coming around a little bit. This would not have been my assumption even a few weeks ago that I would have tried this. But the price is wrong on Portland here, Tom. And I, you know, this could really, all of the scenarios are in play in this game. But when that's true and you're getting a plus 290, you know, not dissimilar to the draw play I took earlier, this one, I think, even more reliable. When you look at the trend data on these teams head to head, you know, Portland plus 290, let's try it. Why not? Like, yeah. I think that price is completely off here.
I when I looked at this game, I thought the same thing. If I was going to take a side here, I'm looking at the Portland side, not the Seattle side right now, which is unfortunate because I have made a lot of money this year betting on Seattle. But I think Portland might have that edge in this spot. I'm going to stick with my both teams to score, but I like where your head's at on this play. The next game up, we've got Atlanta versus Austin FC, another one of my favorite teams to be betting on this year. Minus 114 at home are Atlanta United. Austin plus 265 on the road, because as usual, we have Austin FC with a plus money road price here, and plus 290 is the draw. Austin would cash me a 380 ticket last week, 265 versus Atlanta. Look, they're the second best road team in the league, tied on points with Red Bulls, who have been on a road slide lately. They've been on fire. This might be the spot. I'm still taking it, but this might be the spot where we start to run into some issues. They've got a couple injury issues going on. They've got some yellow card accumulation suspensions that they have to see out. This might be one of the games that they drop. They have six road wins. They might struggle to get the seventh versus a pretty good Atlanta side, especially at home. But I'm still going to take it because I have to bet the system for myself at this point. But I'm going to say exercise some caution here. They might only have one healthy center back for this game.
I mean, but like the United injuries are ridiculous as well. Like, I would just say this Atlanta team does not know how to win. They put together pockets of every single game where you can see this team as, like, talent-wise, a fringe top seven, top five team in the league. I know that sounds like I'm biased as a United fan, but, like, there are pieces there. Even when you consider all of the injuries to Ozzie Alonso, Miles Robinson, and Brad Guzan, they don't have the defensive stuff figured out. And in the important stretches in the second half, you saw this at Red Bulls last week. Atlanta goes there, kind of sticks to their game plan, does everything right, goes up a goal, and poops away the game and loses it 2-1. A little bit of the opposite against NYCFC after that, getting a really impressive point at Yankee Stadium, coming down from behind to do that. But I don't have a whole lot of faith in Atlanta United, even when things go well, to get 3 points. And I think the prices are wrong here again. So I'm also taking the Austin play at plus 265. Now I am going to do two plays here. I'm not pairing them together because I have to make up for not betting the NYCFC New England game, but also I think this is just a, you know, Atlanta is as money on the overs at this point as you can imagine. Austin not far off. Atlanta is now 11-1, Tom, on over 2.5 in all competitions. Wow. In the last 12 games. Austin 9-3 on over 2.5 all comps during that same stretch. So that's enough trend data for me. It's a big enough sample size to feel pretty confident with them going against each other. You know, my favorite over 2.75 play. Unfortunately, you have to do it here because the over 2.5 is a prohibitive price. I'm going to go over 2.75 Lang minus 132 along with Austin plus 265. So two separate plays in this one, Tom.
I'm going to wait a little bit. I was actually going to say, I was going to add when you were done, I'm going to take an over in this spot too. I'm going to wait a little bit. This line is going to move to 3 even. I'll take it when it gets there. I'll take it when it gets to the flat 3 at even money. I think this game probably has 4 goals in it. I'm right there with you, Taylor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, 2-2 has been a classic Atlanta result, by the way. If anyone's trying to look at a crazy exacta play, that would be like one of the more fun exacta moves that you want to do. But, I'm going to stay away from that. But yeah, I think our heads are in the same place here, Tom.
I mean, if we could hit on that, that would be fantastic. Let's get a couple more games in here. I want to hit 2 more games before we say goodbye to our video listeners. We're going to start off FC Cincinnati versus New York Red Bull. Cincinnati, the one road, the one home dog of the week, plus 185. Red Bulls plus 130 in the draw, plus 265. I feel like there's the reverse Austin syndrome. They're 1-2 in the league, Austin and Red Bulls in the road standings. They are 1-2, and you can get fantastic prices on Austin and Red Bulls. Your prices are terrible when they go on the road. I'm taking Cincinnati here at plus 185. This has been another team that I've really enjoyed betting on this season. And while Red Bulls finally got back to winning last week, Cincinnati's become a tough cookie to crack. They're the league's second worst home side, but they've been in some shootouts as of late. I could see this being another one. I like the plus 185, and I'm going to add on an over 2.5 at minus 150.
So, I mean, look, Cincy feels right on the precipice of being good. All of these games, not dissimilar to what I'm saying about Atlanta, although I think Cincinnati more surprising with some of the personnel they had coming into this year. You know, all of the offensive data for them, 6th most key passes in the league, you know, Lucho Acosta, 10 assists, the most in the league. They really do have a ton of playmaking, a ton of chance creation, and they just sometimes can't put these games away. For that reason, I don't really want to take a side here. You know, there's weird Cincy over data as well. Like, they've had some weird misses, but 5 of their last 8 have gone. Actually 5 of their last 8, I believe, have gone over 3.5, as I'm confirming that. Yes. So that's a crazy stretch there for them as well. Red Bulls also 3rd most away goals in the league, Tom. So you mentioned the Red Bulls form in terms of picking up points. They often do it by scoring a lot of goals away from home. All that is to say, you and I have a play in common here. I'm going to keep it simple, just at over 2.5 minus 150. I think that should be pretty safe. Obviously, again, just a caveat, and I promise I'll stop saying this every week. If you're not used to betting MLS, that price seems crazy, right? If you're a Premier League bettor, Champions League, that kind of stuff, why would I lay minus 150? Well, because it hits so often in this league. We went through some of those numbers a few weeks ago. So especially for these two teams, the numbers are there for good attacking play. I like it at over 2.5 minus 150.
That's right. Now, one of the last games that we want to talk about with our video listeners before we say goodbye to them, Chicago Fire plus 112 versus Columbus Crew, who are plus 230 on the road in the draw at plus 245 here in this spot. And Chicago, they finally got a good win. They've got 2 wins in a row now, but Columbus is sneakily unbeaten in their last 5 games. Their only losses recently have been to LA and New York City. They're a team that isn't quite in that great tier, but they're better than bad. I think with the Chicago 2 wins, I don't think they get to 3. It's hard to chain 3 Ws in a row, especially for a team like Chicago. This is the spot where I think they finally drop it. I'll take the Crew plus 230.
So my first thought here is under. Is there anything we can do on under 2.5? The Fire have been sort of a weird team on that. You would think they've been more reliable, but they're 4-7 with under 2.5 their last 11. The Crew are 7-4. The Fire have just been a sort of disgusting team to handicap in any way, really. Sides, totals. In theory, you should be able to fade them, but like the numbers really often aren't there to do it and make a lot of money. They're bad. There's no question about it. I do recommend fading them, and that's exactly what I am going to do here. But I didn't love the numbers initially. I am going to go into the market that I typically like a little bit more in the European leagues, but that's the Crew plus a half goal. I'm laying minus 136 on it. You're getting protection there on a potential draw play. You know, the Crew would have beaten Philly last week if Blake didn't make five really good saves and the Crew didn't miss a penalty. So Columbus has been coming into form a little bit. Their last 10 games, you know, they got kind of hammered by NYCFC and LAFC a few weeks ago, but otherwise it's been draws and wins only their last 10. They're figuring out results. They went to Atlanta, got a nice win. You know, I don't think Columbus is great. I think they'll probably miss out on the playoffs despite some of these new DP moves, but I do like them in this spot. You're getting something inside minus 150 in a way to fade the Fire that still gives you draw protection. I think that's a flexible enough move for me to lay minus 136 here, Tom.
Hey, it's basically the same thing I took with the Revs play, but you're going on a different game here. Great minds. I think that the Crew are going to get this win, but a draw definitely has some risk to it. So I like being able to get that extra half goal. Again, no qualms with your play whatsoever here, Taylor. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in here. If you are listening to us on YouTube, that is going to do it. If you want to hear the rest of our breakdown of the full slate, head on over to the podcast platform of your choice. This is the MLS Betting Weekly Podcast brought to you by Bet Rivers. Head on over to BetRivers.com today. Sign up and get in on the action. And of course, you can follow us. I'm on Twitter at TV at Work. He's at ATLT Will. And of course, follow at Bet Rivers as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for us here on video. Best of luck and cash those tickets. And for our audio viewers, stick around and we will be heading on over to break down the rest of the slate right now. All right, Taylor, let's keep it moving on here. And we're going to head back up and talk about some of the games a little further up the board that I kind of skipped over. Vancouver versus Minnesota is our first one up here. Plus 125 are the Whitecaps. Minnesota plus 195 and the draw plus 255 in this one. The over 2.5 at minus 129, the under minus 105. And I'll tell you here, Minnesota suddenly on a two-game win streak. Both games, one home, one away. They win 3-2. But Vancouver's suddenly in fine form. Four wins, one draw, one loss in their last six. The loss was a bad 4-0 to Seattle, but Seattle's pretty good. Again, great call on the LAFC trap game. That was a fantastic win, even if they were playing a rotated LA squad. They've gone under in three of their last four. Minnesota's played over in all four of their last four. They've got the Loons have one of the league's worst road expected goals allowed. They're the fifth worst in the league. And Vancouver's 25th in the league in home XG. It feels like a collision of complete opposites here. I think I have to side with Vancouver's lack of offense over Minnesota's lack of defense. I'm going to take the Whitecaps plus 125.
This was a hard read. I mean, look, Minnesota all year, they've kind of, you know, they start out as the Minnesota United that we know and love as like a team that's just not quite good enough and a team that certainly is not good enough offensively, a team that we're looking at to fade on the road and a team that we're looking at for under opportunities when possible. But you mentioned it. I mean, these last few weeks, they're kind of figuring out the scoring part of the game. Emmanuel Reynoso has been awesome. He scored five goals in the last four and, you know, finding a Reynoso type guy who's on and can play make and score goals has been a real issue sort of since Minnesota United has come into the league. So I like the fact that they figured that out. You're absolutely right with Vancouver. I mean, coming off of just a monster sort of famous historical win, you could almost say over LAFC this past week, despite the rotation, it was still a really big win for them, I would argue. And don't look now, but the Caps are also tied for the fourth best home points per game in the league. So it's not an easy way to play. Having said all of that, though, I'm going to try Minnesota 2-1. I didn't have much of a read here. And when I don't have a read and I've already taken one game off this week, Tom, that usually means I'm trying the big price in Major League Soccer. So I do think it's promising. If you're a Minnesota United fan, I think you feel more positive about your team right now than you did earlier in the season. Vancouver, you could say the exact same thing, especially with all of those early season injuries. So, I mean, you outlined all the trend data kind of colliding with each other for these two teams in this spot. that keeps me away from either an over or an under. You know, on Minnesota recently, I'd kind of like an over. On Vancouver, especially Vancouver at home, you always have to lean under. So I stayed away from that market. I'm just going to take the price I like ultimately here, Tom, on a Minnesota team that has shown they can go away from home and kind of go against the grain and get it done on big prices over the last few weeks. I'm taking the Loons plus 200. See what happens.
There we go. I'm going up against you, but we've got to have some disagreement on the slate here, don't we? Yep. The next game up, Charlotte versus Nashville. Charlotte plus 140 at home. Nashville plus 215 on the road, and the draw at 2-1 flat here. The under is juiced at minus 155 on the 2.5. Charlotte finally got that road W over the Dynamo, though. Kind of called that one. Not fully tooting my own horn. I didn't take it, but I did say this was a good spot for them. But at home, this team can still play some defense. There's a reason the under is juiced here. They've got the league's, but even with those results, they have the league's 7th highest home XG. Home XGA. Nashville's 23rd in the league in road XG. But I want to take a spot here and say this game goes over. The numbers aren't really on my side here, but this is one of those plays I've just got a gut feeling this is going to be one of those MLS games. Nashville can get one, and Charlotte's going to get two. I like the over at plus 115. And quite frankly, Nashville's resume is starting to underwhelm me. They haven't been getting wins against quality opponents as of late. I get that you have to play the schedule in front of you, but they haven't been dominating a weaker schedule anyway. I'm staying away here, and I'm saying Charlotte plus 140 as well as that over. Two separate plays, no parlay.
I'm trying another big plus price with Nashville plus 220. I agree with you on the schedule stuff for them, but I would also still not be convinced that Charlotte is any different than some of those other teams that Nashville has gotten results against. I understand everything that Charlotte has done at home, but there have been some losses creeping up for Charlotte at home as well. And, you know, I mean, it's one game. It's one loss in 90 minutes in all competitions in the last 9 for Nashville. They did end up losing, I think, in penalties to Orlando in that cup game, but that finished 1-1. They're competitive. They keep it close. I think if anyone can figure it out also in the sort of Charlotte Carolinian vortex that is really hard for road teams to figure out here in their inaugural season, it's probably Nashville, a team that, you know, spent so much of their early season, all of their first couple of months in the season away from home. And they actually have the 5th best away points per game in the league. Charlotte, of course, 5th best home points per game at home so far this year. So, you know, again, another kind of collision course of the trend data going head to head there. It looked at one point like Charlotte might have been fading, and then they've kind of popped back up. They finally went out and got that road win, as you say, in Houston. It's a tough game to call. It's another sort of coin flippy game for me, so I'm taking the number and the better team. I still think in a vacuum, Nashville is a better team than Charlotte. I think that'll bear itself out over the season as a whole. Maybe you disagree with that, Tom, but I like Nashville and the price for that reason.
I want to like Nashville. I'm a little low on them right now. I want to see them prove me wrong and get a win in this spot before I take them again. I'm going to take Charlotte at home in this one. Toronto versus San Jose, our next game up. Plus 115 is Toronto FC. The Quakes are plus 190 and the draw plus 290 here. Do we see Insigne in this spot? Do you think that this is the game?
I feel like we would have heard a little bit more chatter here over the past few days, but it's a good question to ask the listeners there, Tom.
I mean, I'm looking here up, and I'm looking it up right now. Headline 4 hours ago from Jonathan Segal over on MLSsoccer.com. Lorenzo Insigne's debut for Toronto will have to wait. Yeah. Head coach Bob Bradley revealed that the new star is now looking at a July 23rd debut versus Charlotte after a slight calf injury. He was supposed to come on the field this week against San Jose, but that is unfortunate. But good for my Quakes because it gives them a little bit better of a chance here. I'm excited to see Bernadeschi and Insigne together. This is going to be a ridiculous, ridiculous Toronto attack, and they're playing one of the better over teams in the league right now in the Earthquakes, but the over 2.5 is minus 186. You're going to be able to find a price on the 3 probably around minus 120, minus 110. I'm hoping to get near that even money range, but I'm not taking the Quakes in this spot. They've been abysmal on the road. They are winless on the road. Even Toronto is going to be able to take care of them. You're probably going to be able to get an over 3 price, but I'm playing Toronto plus 115.
Wow. I don't want to take the side really anytime either of these teams are playing. There's an occasional home San Jose spot, aka last week, where we hit on a plus 105 there. I didn't want to side here. You already know where I'm going, Tom. A heavily juiced over 2.5 with the Toronto game. I'm going the classic over 2.75. I am laying a -139 price on that. Got hit on the Seattle 2-0 win over Toronto last week. I think those types of games, you mentioned Bernadeschi and Insignia, I think you'll avoid those. That's why I think Toronto will become an even better over team as the second half of the season gets into play. Because the defense is still not that good. Even that Seattle game, you know, you look at the expected goals numbers right around 3.25. So really should have gotten just about there on the over. Seattle ends up winning at 2-0. I still really, really like just about blindly betting Toronto overs. And I certainly feel the same way about San Jose. Sometimes you have to be a little bit careful with San Jose on the road in terms of the goal scoring department, as far as the numbers are concerned. But when on the road in this spot is at Toronto, I feel pretty good about it. So one of my part of my unit is on an over 2.5. Part of it's on an over 3. If I only hit half of that, I'm fine with it. Over 2.75, laying some juice.
Yep. I think that's simply the way that it's going to be in this game. I'm taking Toronto, though. I agree. Over is definitely the play, but I'm going to continue to fade the Earthquakes on the road. They're just not a good team right now. They're not playing very inspired ball yet. Alex Cavallo honeymoon is well far and over, and they're back to the issue of not having a ton of talent. They have a couple of attacking players like Jeremy Obobese. I think they could build a good team here. They need a couple more pieces that they frankly aren't willing to sign, and that's going to doom them for a while. But the next game up here, because I could gripe about the Earthquakes all day, Montreal versus Sporting Kansas City. Montreal -137, the draw +340, and +285 on the tie. Ooh, Montreal, this is an easy one here. I'm laying the -137 juice. It's a bounce back spot for them. They got stomped versus LA, a game I was very wrong about, but I did hit the over in that one, and that's all I really care about. -137 is an okay price to take them at against a KC team that struggles so heavily on the road. I think Montreal was due for a letdown. Canadian team can't beat an American one on 4th of July. LAFC, why didn't you try in that game? Come on. But I'm taking Montreal -137.
Yeah, full agreement. I mean, I locked this up at -130, so it's moving the wrong way slightly. Maybe go ahead and take this, folks, if you want to at the time you hear it, because a lot of people are going to, in the public, want to fade Sporting in this spot. You know, I mean, Montreal, look, I thought losing Mihailovic for a few weeks would really hurt them, and they've kind of maintained, including some impressive results away from home. They went to Seattle and got that win. Montreal's good. I don't know if they're great, but I think they're good. They figure things out. They're well-organized, and they can absolutely score, one of the better goal-scoring teams in the league. You know, Sporting just one road win in 10 this season. I don't think they make it two here. And, you know, yes, I understand before people say, well, Montreal was going well before last week, of course, but I think they bounce back here. Absolutely. I love bounce back plays in general in this league, especially for a team that you think has some quality, which I do at this point believe a little bit in Montreal. And fading Sporting on the road. You mentioned fading San Jose on the road. That's kind of where I'm at with Sporting just about every spot the rest of the way, Tom. So I'm fine with the price in the -130s, just taking Montreal to win the game.
I mean, San Jose is the 27th worst team on the road. They're the second worst team on the road. I can't speak today. Sporting Kansas City is the 25th. These are two reliable fade spots. And then you've got Toronto and Colorado to round that out. But Toronto at home, not atrocious. Actually, really not bad. Like 19th, they can get it done, especially against a bad team like San Jose. That's what I'm taking here. The next game up, Orlando and Montreal, same deal. They're great at home, -137. Again, all over the place right now. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. But Orlando versus Miami. Hear me out. Orlando is due for a bounce back after that 5-3 loss to DC.
I will hear you out. Let's go.
Orlando at -141. Miami at +360 and the draw +280. They're due for that bounce back. But Miami is suddenly 3-1-1 in their last five. They're in great form and deserve some respect right now. They're much more formidable at home. They haven't won a road game since April, but they've got two draws in their last three on the road. At +360 on a very short trip along the peninsula, I'm taking Miami +360 as a value play.
I absolutely on board the Inter Miami Express here. I had them locked up at +370. It's moved a little away from that. You know, that was a really impressive, I think in terms, one of the questions for Miami, it is fair. Like, can they do it away? I still think some of those questions are there, but what they did in Dallas, and look, is Dallas fading? We can get into that a little bit when we talk about this Texas derby, but that was an impressive draw. They out XG'd them like almost 3-1. They really should have won that game, and they get a 1-1 draw against a Dallas team that can be hard to beat at home. So really impressive there. Orlando coming off of a truly horrific loss, which how many times has that happened? Like, Orlando's had a few games this season where they do not look like an MLS team at all. They look like they're somewhere further down the division. Dare I say NPSL. I mean, like, this was a really, really bad result for them. They couldn't maintain the lead they had. They were atrocious defensively. They were completely disorganized all over the place, and they lose to a bad DC team. So you do have to be careful in this league with bounce backs in those kinds of spots, and especially an Orlando team that's been very Jekyll and Hyde this year. We've seen them have, you know, when they played the Red Bulls, a worse team, a better team than DC, and they had a similar result earlier this year. They bounced back after losing that game 3-0. So it's happened with Orlando this season. But I do think Inter Miami is just the better team. The price is completely wrong here. You look at all of the analytics for Inter, they look pretty solid. And the eye test, I mean, I really enjoy watching this team at this point. I think we took a little bit long to maybe hop on board. At this point, it's a team that I would push into the Eastern Conference playoffs. Phil Neville's really figured out kind of what works, what doesn't for them this year, whereas I feel the exact opposite with Orlando. I think they're honestly, a lot of these games, especially when things go wrong, they're chickens running around with their heads cut off, as we saw against DC in that last fixture. So the price is completely off here, Tom. We're taking a few of these this week, which I think you should always take a handful of these big plus prices when you think the number is off in MLS, because they hit a lot more than you realize until you start betting this league regularly. And, you know, again, I like teams that if I prefer them in a vacuum and I can get them close to 4-1 against their opponent, those are spots that I like a lot in this league, because you don't get those prices really anywhere else in sports betting. I mean, it's very rare to find that kind of an opportunity. I love Inter at plus 370 this week.
There we go. Same page there. But let's talk about that Dynamo Dallas game, the Texas Derby, plus 140 of the Houston Dynamo at home. FC Dallas plus 188 on the road in the draw, plus 235 here. You know, yes, Dallas has absolutely been tumbling down the form table. One win, two draws, two losses in their last five. They need to get right, and a good spot is against the Dynamo team with one win in its last four. I think plus 188 is some good value here. I think that Dallas needs some Texas barbecue. They need some Texas barbecue and to get right here. This spot against Houston is the right spot for that. I think we see them get a road win here.
If Dallas struggles here, I think you officially know there are real problems. And there are issues defensively for this team. We've increasingly seen what was great home form go out the door a little bit. Obviously, that's not the case here with them on the road. But, you know, it's too many bad recent results to call it a fluke at this point. And I say this as kind of a Dallas backer for a lot of the year. It's just one win in their last seven. The good news is, of course, Houston, they've lost 6 of 7 with just a win over Chicago breaking it up. It's pretty safe to say that Houston is not particularly good. And Dallas, even if you know, are wondering about some of those defensive issues, they still have Ariel and Ferreira getting it done as some of the best attacking players in the league. Jesus, you know, unless he's off to the Bundesliga or something here in the next few weeks, we'll be right there in the running for MLS Golden Boot. He's been absolutely fantastic. And I think you can at least trust Dallas to score the goals. You can't really trust Houston with anything at this point. And you're getting a plus 190, plus 185 price. See where it lands at the time that you hear this show. All of the above are great. I mean, that's just really good value for a Dallas team that in a vacuum is much better than Houston. So full agreement there, Tom.
There we go. One game left on the slate here. RSL versus the Rapids. The Rapids are a top six home team in this league. Then they go on the road, and it's like they're up the creek without a paddle. 0-2-6 on the road this season. Plus 280, not for all the tea in China here, my friend. Real Salt Lake minus 109 in this matchup. The draw plus 260. RSL is 4-0-1 in their last five at home. They're the third best home team in the league. Getting them at minus 109 here is criminal in this spot. It's because the books are looking at the records and just looking at the table itself and going, oh, these teams are close enough to each other that this is just a home spot for RSL. They should be minus 150 or higher. in the spot. I'm going to take the minus 109. Maybe throw that in with that both teams to score in both teams to score in the Cascadia Cup. That's not a bad price here. Let me see what we end up getting it at. I could do a three-team parlay with Toronto, but 211 plus 211 is the parlay on the Timbers both teams to score with RSL in the victory here. That might be worth playing, but I'm going to stick to RSL money line to give out here.
Yeah, complete agreement to finish us off here, Tom. You're getting a solid RSL price. RSL's come back to earth a little bit over the past few weeks, but really that's only been a couple of a way poor results. At home, they're still solid. They would have wanted more than that draw at home to Columbus, but very reliable home team, and there's really kind of no more reliable trend data in the league at this point than fading Colorado away. You know, in a spot like this, I like to see where has things gone well for them. And it's very, very rare. It's the two draws away at NYCFC and away at Houston. So the away at Houston, I'm fine just kind of marking off the board. That's not a good result really for anyone. And the NYCFC game happened right as NYC started to kind of slide into the form that we see them in now. So that result looks maybe a little bit less impressive than it did a few weeks ago. I like RSL here. Anything kind of inside minus 130, maybe even inside minus 150, I think is pretty reliable. I had it locked in at minus 106. So you're getting something there pretty close to even. You should be in good shape with RSL here in a Rocky Mountain Derby. I'm not entirely sure what the actual name of the clash is, but let's get it done.
All right, Taylor. Well, that is going to do it for us here. It has been a pleasure as always, my friend. And thank God your internet made it through at the very least the video portion without needing serious edits. And hey, hopefully people can't really tell that we had to mess around a bit with the audio version. But ladies and gentlemen, if you are one of our audio viewers here, thank you so much for sticking around with us. We really appreciate it. As always, once again, TV at work and ATLT will give us a follow on the Twitter sphere. Follow, of course, the BRN Podcast Network at BRN Podcasts for all of the great content that they have around pretty much anything you can bet on. You name it. We got Nigel Seeley doing the Premier League. We've got cricket. We've got everything under the sun when it comes to sports here. If you want content, they got it. And of course, Bet Rivers Sportsbook and Casino, our sponsor here. Sign up for a Bet Rivers account at betrivers.com today. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you had a happy 4th of July and let us cash some tickets. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Major League Soccer on the Bet Rivers Network.